Hello, you're listening to Ritty Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined today by the Norm Peterson of Rose and Crown, Sean.
Oh, I like that one. That's good. Hopefully people get that reference.
And the Sam Malone of TuneIn Lounge, JJ.
Sam Alone?
Malone.
Oh, Sam Malone. Sam.
I thought I heard Sam Alone too, but I thought, oh, Sam Alone.
I mean, I'm just always thinking of my wife, so. Sam Alone. What are we talking? I am the Sam of the TuneIn Lounge.
He was a... He was a baseball player, wasn't he? Sam Malone?
Oh, yes. That was his backstory. Yeah. He was a baseball player that opened the bar after he retired.
Right. Yeah. I can see you doing that. You just got to play baseball.
You need a baseball career first. I get working on that.
I think I'm past that. The dream's dead.
In today's episode, we continue the Spotlight series and dive into the Disney history of one of our hosts.
You've heard him rank snacks with authority, question Lightning Lane logic, and casually run 10 miles to Disney World. But today, it's Andrew's turn in the spotlight.
Ooh.
He's a teacher, a planner, a DVC member, and the kind of guy who thinks too deeply about pre-shows and then talks about them on a podcast. In this episode, we're going to get to know the geek behind the mic, his Disney roots, park must-dos, pet peeves, and what makes him keep coming back to the most magical place on Earth. Let's shine the spotlight on Andrew.
Oh man, I think I lost a job.
That was
that was really good.
Imagine reading words off a screen.
We did leave out one thing. Guy who gets his entire bachelor party to ride Slinky Dog Dash.
I think we took up almost an entire train.
that's a good nickname.
A bunch of 30 to 40 year old men on Slinky Dog Dash.
I actually thought you guys
used lightning lanes for that, by the way.
We did. Not necessarily
thinking maybe it wasn't the best use of lightning lane, but
could have used it on Tower of Terror or, you know,
Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway.
That line, that you couldn't book those in advance. We had to do that the day of.
We did that in the park.
Yeah, that was day of or morning of. Yeah, it was like a 7 a.m. drop. Yeah, 7 a.m. drop.
Yeah. I'm surprised, you guys. I thought you would hit me with titles.
Oh, well, maybe the Slinky Dog Dasher.
All right, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeVille.
You know what? Let's just start with the Lightning McQueen round. This is going to be some fast answers, just quick hits of like very basic stuff with your opinions at Walt Disney World.
Right. Are you ready?
All right.
I know there's going to be one of them where I'm going to be like, let me think for 5 minutes. But I can't.
No, you can't. It's got to be fast.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Ready.
Favorite park?
Epcot.
Ride?
Guardians.
Show?
Filler Magic.
Yes. Resort?
Polynesian.
Transportation method?
Skyliner.
Sit-down restaurant?
Topolino's.
Quick service?
Satouli Canteen.
Snack?
Popcorn.
Bar?
Geyser Point.
Drink?
Espresso martini. No, I'm taking that back. Black and tan. A black and tan at
the Rose and Crown?
Rose and Crown.
Which you won't be able to get for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing cans, so it won't be the same.
I don't... I guess you can technically, you can pour a black and tan out of a can.
I think so, yeah.
Different. Yeah.
You're wasting a can, though.
You're wasting it, but you're hoping that minutes later someone else decides to order another black and tan so you can basically use...
I don't want someone else's sloppy black and tan.
Well, it's out of a can. You're pouring it.
Yeah, the bartender's going to just have cans behind the thing and pour half into...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You order two black and tans, you're going to open up two cans of thing.
It was when you sent the thing about... or what one of you sent the... the bar outside of Rosencrown... And then, like, not even a week later, you sent the thing from Michael that was like, oh, Rosencrown is... I was like, oh, that makes sense now that they've got the temporary taps outside.
Yes.
Because they'll probably put two or three kegs in there outside.
Yeah.
And then... But my assumption was they were getting a whole new tap system, which is what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, now, boys, if you just stop carrying on, like, we just might dedicate this next song to y'all.
Okay, I think you passed the Lightning McQueen round. And
did I win the race?
Yeah.
Yes, you were the only driver.
Not even like Radiator Springs in California Adventure where there's two cars against each other.
It's just Andrew.
Okay. So, Andrew, do you remember? Well, there's no way you remember your first visit, right?
Yeah. So, I don't. I had to go to my parents.
Okay. So, when was your first visit?
Well, I was privileged enough to go to Disney World a lot when I was a youngster.
Okay.
A young kid.
Well, how many times have you been?
Well, JJ, there's a bit of a Jim Hill level story here.
Okay.
I'm going to channel my inner Len Tessa and Jim Hill here and start all the way back in 1972. Because that was the first time my dad went to Disney World, the year after it opened. Spring break, he went down there. And then he went down again in 76 with my mom. And then 78. And then first time as a family in 86. Still not with me. So, like, they were going a lot even before me.
So this is something that you were kind of indoctrinated into.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice. Yeah. There was no way we were going to be a Universal family. It's just not going to happen.
Your family has Disney memories that don't involve you at all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. My brother has tons of it. In fact, I think I ruined the first trip. The first trip I was on, my brother did not like that trip. It was not a great trip. But that's because they took me before I had to pay for a ticket. So it was like, it was either 89 or 90. Mm-hmm. And we would always go to the campground and stay in a trailer. My dad would buy every once in a while. He would buy and sell as, you know, trailers. Mm-hmm. And so we would drive all the way down. I don't know how he would do it.
You guys were a big driving family.
We were a big driving family. Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine. You have a handful of siblings. You have a large family.
Yeah. So four of us, four little, you know.
Yeah. So there's a family of six.
Yeah.
You got to compare buying six plane tickets to the cost of driving.
And in the 80s, wasn't.
No, those are expensive.
Yeah. And my dad, he would go to work. He's a New York City firefighter, and he would work all day. Do a whole shift, get off, you know, go back home, pack up the car, and then drive. And then he would drive 24 hours down to Disney. So it was, I don't know how he did it, but he did. And we were lucky enough to go a lot. So instead of knowing my first time, I thought I would share just my first memories. Because I don't remember a specific time. I just remember moments.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? So being in the campground, it's basically all about Fort Wilderness. I barely remember anything from the parks at all. So Fort Wilderness, in our trailer, we would go down sometimes upwards of three times a year. We would go down for Christmas, Easter, and summer.
Wow.
And that was because my parents would buy a 10-day ticket. And back then, tickets didn't expire.
Right.
And then when they got rid of that, then they switched to annual passes. But annual passes were cheap enough if you were going enough. And
so you would buy a 10-day ticket, but you could use that over Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
As long as you use it 10 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
And it never expires.
Never expires, right. Yeah.
I used tickets from the year 2000 in 2011.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you have to use them within 3 days of activating it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is a little insane. They don't even allow you to really plan any resort days that much. You have maybe one or two opportunities or chances, but you have to use a 4-day ticket in 6 days.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Right. You know? Because I'm sure there are people that are taking an 8-day trip or a 9-day trip, right? Because they're using both weekends.
Yeah. And you maybe you don't want to go into the park.
Right. Imagine taking
you fly down Friday night, you take off the whole week after that weekend, and you fly home that Sunday. That's a 9-day trip or a 10-day trip.
Yeah.
But you only want to do the parks 3 or 4 days.
Right.
And you don't want to do them consecutively. You want to do a park, maybe you want to do a park Sunday, a park Wednesday, a park Thursday, a park Saturday.
Maybe you want to go to Voldemort for a couple days.
Yeah. And spend a day off site.
So you wouldn't be able to do Disney in the beginning and Disney at the end. You would have to do...
Or you'd have to buy two separate 2-day tickets,
which
is so expensive.
So expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a workaround where if you talk to someone at Disney that they'll like extend your expiration date if you're staying at a resort.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because if you're staying at a Disney resort the whole time.
Especially if you're booking a package. If I'm booking a hotel package at, you know, I'm going to Port Orleans and I'm staying from the 1st to the 15th, a 2-week trip. But I'm only, Disney knows I'm staying 14 days, but they also see that I'm only buying 4 days worth of park tickets. So they,
yeah, you should
they
be
know,
able to use it the whole
they
time.
They know that I'm. To... They know that I'm obviously not going to fill that window.
That might be a thing, actually. Maybe it's waived for the extension of your trip. Like, you know, if you're staying on property.
Because I haven't done a true resort stay in a long time. I've just been buying individual tickets as I've gone down because I've stayed in Airbnbs.
And I haven't done a vacation package in a very long time.
Because you're DVC.
I'm
doing a vacation package right now.
Well,
do some research.
You should do some research on that. Let us know.
Well, I mean, we're not going for long enough for this. You know,
extend your trip.
Yeah.
Oh, fair.
Well, anyway, we would go a lot. I remember one Christmas, and this might be the earliest memory of mine is being down in Christmas. We went for 3 weeks in December, but it was so cold that every one of us at one point got pneumonia.
God.
And we kept on having to go to the hospital, to the emergency room to get more medicine. But it was so cold that the sprinklers in Fort Wilderness around the dock area all burst. And so there was like running water.
Wow.
And there was a sign that my brother reminded me of. It said, like, pardon our appearance, Jack Frost paid us an unusual visit. You know, something. It was clever. Yeah. It was nice. So yeah, that's an early memory of mine. But we would go down a lot, and you know, it's not like, you know, my father was a firefighter. My mom worked in our school district as a secretary, and you know, we would do the tickets. You know, buying a lot of tickets at once. Sometimes we would. I don't know if this is okay to say on air, but sometimes we like kind of sneak in. Like my parents one time had me sit in a stroller sit on my knees and put a little blanket over me and suck on my thumb to pretend I was 3 years old and to get a free ticket.
This happened recently?
No.
It was last year.
But I guess back then you didn't have to tell them how old you were the time before. Like, there wasn't like a computer system that they could look up how old Andrew
was. I mean, I know that both Michael Eisner and Bob Iger listen to this podcast, so hopefully they won't get too upset with you admitting that, but I think we'll be okay.
there was also a time when Disney was running a promotion, one free child for every adult.
Oh, wow.
Think about that for a moment. Yeah. So if you were a family of four, two children, two adults, you didn't have to pay for the kids.
That's like when we used to go to we used to get, my parents, we would always go to Six Flags because McDonald's would give out, the buy one, get one free coupon.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't imagine Disney today doing something like
that. Right. Yep.
Well, but also their kid tickets do expire pretty young, right? You're not an adult ticket once you're, 11.
Right. Yeah. There was a junior.
I think it's younger than that, actually.
Yeah, but I think at this point it was a little older.
I think 9 or 10 is now an adult at Disney.
But as JJ said before, we're a family of four kids, right?
Right.
So my dad went to the people behind us and said, do you mind taking my son and my daughter into the park? And
anyone who knows Andrew's dad is unsurprised by any of this.
so that's how they got us in. I think, you know, they were like, yeah, sure, okay. And then held their hand.
Can you buy them souvenirs too?
Take them home with you?
So that's how we would do it. We would drive down. The campgrounds are pretty cheap, you know, especially back then. And we would try to splurge, or we would not splurge on tickets. Or even in the park. We would bring our own sandwiches, bring our own juice boxes.
Well, you know what? You did have the trailer, so you had a fridge and all that, right? So,
yeah. Okay. So, earliest memories at the parks or at Disney was, because I just kind of started with this. The campgrounds, riding bikes. You used to be able to ride your bike to Wilderness Lodge, and we would do that all the time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You could bring your own bikes?
Yep. You could bring your own bikes.
Is that not allowed anymore, bringing your own bike?
No, I think you can.
You probably can.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I don't know if you can bring them. Like, I don't know if I were driving to Disney and staying at Coronado Springs, could I bring my bike and keep it in? I don't know if they would let me ride my own personal bike around the property. I don't know. Maybe.
That's
maybe
interesting.
Not.
That's an interesting thought. I don't know. I've never seen that happen before. But there, I mean, I know my nieces and nephews have brought their bikes down to Fort Wilderness.
Okay. Recently. Yeah, but I feel like Fort Wilderness is more catered to that.
Yeah. 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 But we used to ride over to Wilderness Lodge and use their pool because it used to be able to use any pool on property that you wanted to.
Right. Yeah.
It was Yacht and Beach Club, which changed that because that became popular. Yeah. Being scared by alien encounter.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah.
The resort TV.
Wait, what was the name of the one? The pre-show, the little guy that got burned up.
Oh, we were talking about him.
That's from Cranium Command. Chippy.
Skippy.
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 Skippy. Yeah, you're right. It's Skippy.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Skippy.
Oh man. Yeah. So, a lot. It's funny. Like all of my memories from when I was a kid, most of them are outside of the parks and are more. You know, more having to do with Fort Wilderness. I used to love the boats and talking to the captains of the small boats.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And they used to have like cards or stickers that they would give all the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my memories there.
Wow. So you've given us a little bit of your family's history down at the resorts, down at the parks. What are some magical moments?
I tried to focus more on when I was a kid, right? Sitting in the front of the monorail.
Yeah.
And
was the best.
That was the best.
Oh.
Going through the Contemporary.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the front of the monorail.
Can't do that anymore.
No. No.
For obvious reasons, but
the monorail, I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. That is awesome.
The monorail is kind of the coolest thing for like anyone under the age of like 10.
It's one of the coolest things for.
It's still really
for this
cool.
36-year-old
it's
here.
Still really cool.
I feel like did JFK ruin it? Did the monorail that takes you from Jamaica train station to JFK airport ruin it?
Did John F. Kennedy ruin the monorail? I don't know.
Oh, well, that's a historical context episode we can get into.
Well, no, because for me, part of the. I mean, I like the air train to Jamaica just because it's easy to use.
Yeah.
But for me, I always loved the monorail at MCO.
Yeah, even at Orlando, I still love that
the
one.
The first monorail ride of the trip is the unofficial MCO monorail.
Right.
Unless now you fly into the fancy new JetBlue terminal where you don't get a monorail ride. But
boo.
Yeah.
But I always record Buddy Dyer and his speech there.
That's awesome. Like the unofficial. It was always the excitement of, and I'm not going to hijack your episode, but the monorail from your terminal to the Magical Express, getting the bus. That was like how you know you were starting your Disney trip.
At
the airport.
Yeah, that is a great kickstart.
Yeah. So I thought of one other. As a kid, a magical moment. In Fort Wilderness, they used to have this thing called Sight of the Day. And you would, they would come and proclaim you as the Sight of the Day. They would put a...
Oh, campsite.
This feels like what is it? The
Full House.
Princess of the Day.
Kind of. A little bit. But it didn't come like that. You know, it was like a little ceremony. Like, oh, you guys are Sight of the Day. And you had a plaque put in front of your site, your campsite. And then they would take a picture. And the picture would be up at the, not Crockett's Tavern, but it's the the general store. It would be up at a general store. And you would get a copy, too.
That's cool.
And I always wanted to be Sight of the Day, and I think my dad just asked, like, you know, how do you become Sight of the Day? And they're like, oh, you just ask. You want to be tomorrow?
You
want to
be tomorrow?
And then they came tomorrow, but they didn't tell me. And I was like so excited. Oh, my God, we're the Sight of the Day. And we still have the picture today. It's like my whole family just standing behind the poster and me right in front, like I'm presenting the poster.
We need that picture for the show notes, I think.
Yeah, that'll be on Instagram there. I was so excited to be Sight of the Day. but then I also, you know, I took a break from Disney throughout college and a little bit after college, and in dating Emily, got back into Disney. You know, when I wanted to show her what my childhood was like, right? And so one of the special moments is really, I remember like walking through Magic Kingdom with her and just like pointing out all the different things that we would do when we were a kid. Like, oh, I would always ride the People Mover because my family was going on Space Mountain.
But right,
because
you're the youngest in your family.
Yeah. So I didn't have the height to do that. And so that was really a very magical experience. The fake proposal aside, there's just that first trip with Emily and showing her, you know, everything from my childhood. That was awesome.
Oh, JJ can drop in an aw audio drop there.
Mm. Or that's good enough too.
Oh gosh, maybe Bean could set off the fireworks.
Okay, how about a hidden gem? Is there like a lesser known experience or attraction that you think deserves more attention?
I think it's tough to get lesser known attractions these days.
I think attraction. Like you're talking about like a ride or something, I still think there's a couple shows that maybe are under the radar.
I mean, Fantasmic, right? I'm just kidding.
if I have to go on record about my feelings about Fantasmic again, I will.
So I said the water parade. I came up with the water parade that I think that's still a little unknown.
That goes on in the lagoon?
In the lagoon, the Seven Seas Lagoon. You know, influencers ruin everything. And
yes.
You know.
That has to be said more.
Yeah. I also think, just in general, Fort Wilderness, I think that's kind of still hidden that people don't go there very often. And there's so much to do there.
Yeah.
You know.
Right, because it's really set up to be a proper campsite with a lot of activities and stuff for people to be. Don't they like decorate for Christmas and stuff?
Right.
Like you decorate your campsite. Like,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
part of the culture there. It has its own culture.
Yes,
like people that stay at Fort Wilderness.
Yeah,
right. There's like a vibe.
Yeah, and they have a Christmas parade.
Yeah,
Where they, you know, everyone there gets golf carts.
Yeah.
Then they dress up their golf carts in Christmas.
That's cool.
Decorations.
That's a good one.
It's like its own like subset of the Disney community.
Yeah.
The Fort Wilderness community.
And it's so unique. Like every other hotel has the same offerings, but Fort Wilderness has, you know, they have canoeing. You can go canoeing. You can go horseback riding. You can, you know, like there's so many
can you
different
go canoeing
things.
Still?
Oh, that's a good point.
Maybe you can't still go canoeing.
Maybe you can't still go canoeing. We should, one of you guys is the computer. Look that up quick.
Look that up.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a gator. Has something else to say about that.
Yeah, set off on your own excursion along the tranquil waters of Disney's Fort Wilderness. Oh, so it's within the resort. Maybe there are private waterways within the resort, like
gator-free waterways.
Right, I don't know.
Gators can get anywhere. Yeah, so you can canoe. That's awesome. Yeah, it's a lot different than your hotel. And, you know, there's 14 plus hotels on Disney property. You know, it's nice to see that they still have the uniqueness of Fort Wilderness. It's like nothing else.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the parks.
Okay.
We've done a lot of hotel talk here. Talk about a ride that has grown on you over the years, and then give me one that you think has aged pretty poorly over the years.
Okay, so I gotta say, I think PhilharMagic has grown on me over the years.
Great answer.
Wait, you were anti-PhilharMagic at some point?
No, I think I just didn't notice it and didn't care for it and just thought, oh, that's a show. And now,
I think when you're younger, shows are boring.
Yes, yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
There's some truth to that.
Yeah. And I think that most of Epcot I thought was boring when I was younger.
Oh, right? Yeah. Definitely.
Cranium Command was the only thing I really liked. Which is a show, right. Even one of my favorite rides now, Spaceship Earth, like, I don't think I liked that when I was a kid. I don't know.
I
liked it in 2010 when we went on it.
I loved it when I was a kid because I loved knowing that you were inside
the ball.
The golf ball.
Yeah, that is cool.
It didn't matter what was in there.
Yeah.
You know, it, just being in there was like cool enough.
And I'm a sucker for a time machine. okay, and then one that hasn't
that you think is aged poorly.
So Pirates used to be my favorite ride as a kid.
Okay.
In the Magic Kingdom, at least. And that now I'm like, okay, this is like it's a slow boat. I don't know.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten better. It hasn't gotten worse.
Right.
But it hasn't improved.
Right.
I mean, the only thing they've done is they've tried to work in a couple of things from the actual movie.
They shoehorn Jack Sparrow in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the I don't know if the ship is more elaborate now and the battle scene
like
is
the
more
first when you first really drop into the ride.
Yeah. That stuff is cool.
It's cool, but I don't think it's newer than it was.
No, I think it's just always been impressive.
It's still the same like two or three cannons that pop off from the water and
Right. Yeah, so that one I think has like deteriorated in my mind. Ooh, and then like
strong word.
Oh yeah, that's true. what word did you use?
Just that we said aged poorly.
Aged poorly. Okay. Yeah, aged poorly. And Space Mountain just because of like
It hurts.
The Space Mountain is a ride that I just if I don't ride it, I'm not upset.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I would never ride it again. But if I went two or three trips to the Magic Kingdom without riding Space Mountain, I would not feel like I was missing anything.
It's not on my list. So Sam's not really a big roller coaster person. So I would have to like make it a priority to go on a ride.
Yeah.
It's not on my list.
No.
Yeah. Ironically, the last time I was there with my family, I went on twice. But, you know, it's it does.
Actually,
it's
the last
fun.
Time I was there, I went on twice, too.
Yeah.
It was raining pretty bad, and we needed somewhere. We needed places to be inside.
Yeah.
Four or five times around the People Mover was too many times.
Too many times.
So you're not going to try to beat Run on the Go's record?
I won't be doing that. No. Won't be doing that.
500 miles.
Too many miles.
This is probably like one of the weirder questions. Do you do the character thing in the parks?
So you mean currently?
Currently, like right now.
No, like if we just saw a character,
you would say hi or something.
Say hi, but once there's a child, even in the vicinity, I you back off. You know that's they're there for the children. But I definitely would take a picture with them if we're ever at a character. Dining experience, yeah, I'm all about that.
Okay. It would never be a breakfast,
who's,
though.
Was it?
It would never be a breakfast.
Never though. Be a breakfast.
No. Did I say breakfast?
No. No. You said a character. Usually, when I think of character meals, I think of character
They're
breakfast.
Almost always breakfast, yeah, right? Yeah. My mind goes to breakfast, too, when it's a character meal. we're at a character dining or something. Who's your favorite Disney character to meet?
Okay, so I thought about this.
Okay.
Right? And Chip and Dale was my guys from when I was a childhood. I love Chip and Dale, right? But right now, I'd say Farmer Mickey.
Oh, so you're still staying at the Garden...
At the Garden Grill.
Because there's also Chip and Dale there.
Oh, yes. Yes, there are. Yeah.
So just basically anybody at Garden Grill.
Are we bringing up the California Grill again?
No.
Garden Grill.
In the Living with the Land.
Yes.
The
Land, yes.
Yeah.
Christ,
what are we doing here? Farmer Mickey is not welcome at California Grill. It's too nice.
They had to put on a tuxedo jacket.
California. I don't think I've ever seen Farmer Mickey.
Oh yeah, so he's there at Garden Grill.
He's only at Garden Grill, I think.
That's the only place.
We've been to
just
Garden
like
Grill.
Safari. Just like Safari Mickey is always at Tusker House.
I always want him to have like
I've never seen this Mickey
a haystack, you know that he
oh,
could chew
like,
on.
Oh, like he's like in his mouth,
like a real hillbilly.
Yeah,
really, really owning the part of farmer.
I feel like this next question is a doozy, specifically with this guy. Tips and tricks. He likes giving out tips. He likes giving out tricks. Let's keep it brief.
Yes.
All right.
Number one.
Do you have a tip or trick that you haven't shared on the pod that you're like secretly passionate about?
Okay. So I would say if you're going to Disney and like you ask me like, oh, just like let's say you know when you see someone and you say hi and then you both start walking away from each other but you're continuing talking but you're like slowly inching away, right?
Yes.
So if I had to give someone three really quick tips right away, I'd be like rope drop, make sure to get there as early as possible. Rope drop, right? They always inflate the wait times at the end of the day. So if you see an hour wait at like a half hour before closing, it's not an hour wait.
Mm-hmm.
Get on it,
mm-hmm.
right? And don't be afraid to stop and recharge. You know, don't think of this trip as, you know, dollars per second.
Right.
Yeah. I like all those. Yeah. I like all those tips. I think the rope drop is important, and then take your time.
Yes.
Right. Like if you're going to exert yourself at all on a Disney trip, is going to be between the hours of the second you're allowed in the park until about 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's when you're moving and grooving.
Yeah.
Then slow down.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to wake up early, just enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it. Just know you're going to miss, you might miss something.
Yeah. Close out the park then.
But definitely close out the park and knowing your tip about the lines. Yeah, yeah. I like that a lot.
They're always inflated.
Yeah.
Always inflated.
Yeah. And also, though, closing time isn't the time they're expecting you to leave. That's right. another little like wrinkle to this, right? It's like you can hop on a line if the park closes at 9, you can get on the line at 8:59 p.m.
Right. Yeah, and the stop and recharge really is important because
huge.
you know, people will say like, oh, this is so expensive, we have to get as much out of it, but you're just going to ruin.
You're gonna burn yourself out by day two,
and then
right.
It's already a sunk cost. You already paid to be there,
right?
Right.
Right. Like, and with the if you're
might
buying,
as well enjoy it.
If you're buying from Disney, you paid for this trip like a month ago.
Right. Right.
Like
right. You made your final payment at least 30 to 40 days ago.
Right.
Yeah. That money's been spent.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since you're someone who can't even remember the first time he was in the parks, what is something that you've seen change at Disney over the years that's been for the better? Like, what's the best change that's happened over time? And then also, what's the worst?
I just remembered something from, as you said, like, who can't even remember, and you're talking about the past. I just remembered something that, like, is so awesome. I wish I mentioned earlier. Can I mention it real quick?
Just mention it now, and then I'll re-ask the question.
We used to go to church every Sunday when we were down there at the Polynesian, at the luau, the former.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they would have a church service
huh.
there
huh.
every Sunday, and then on Easter that we would go to the Contemporary, and they would have service at the Contemporary, and then an Easter egg hunt.
When he was so. When Jesus comes back, it's at the Contemporary.
Right.
Contemporary.
Yeah.
Jesus happens to rise on the third day in
because
Central
it was,
Florida.
Because it was more modern?
Yeah.
It was more modern to be a mid... It was very mid-century modern to be resurrected.
I think it was a convention hall. I think it was just the convention hall.
Oh. Mm. So you experienced Easter Mass where Richard Nixon gave his I'm Not a Crook speech.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
like,
right.
Literally in the exact room.
Yeah.
I wonder if the priest was in like the same podium.
Oh, I can't believe we did that. I mean, talk about like. Not...
I'm a little surprised that. I mean, I guess I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, we all have history at the parish, but I'm a little surprised that your parents would make time on a vacation to still go to church.
I guess when you're going.
You're there for that specific holiday.
Oh, Easter, yeah.
Yeah, even people that could just go to church on Christmas and Easter.
Or Christmas, yeah.
If you're there on those two holidays, those are the two holidays.
You're probably expecting, probably to church, yeah.
But Benny Sunday we were there. Wow. We would go to church in Polynesian.
The priest didn't wear Mickey ears?
No. He was, so I'm told, I don't remember this, but I was told that he was collecting, like when he would do the collections, to build a church nearby, and that church is still there. It's off of, it's like right across the street, like property from Disney. Okay, I'm sorry. So what was that, the question there?
What's happened at Disney over the years? Like, what's the best change over time? What's the worst change over time?
Okay, so the best change is a Skyliner. It 100%. The sixth best ride in Walt Disney World, the Skyliner.
Why? Explain that.
Because you can now easily go places.
No,
it's
so easy. I kind of understand what you're saying. It's like it makes all those other resorts so much more relevant, like Pop Century and Caribbean Beach and the Riviera. Like, is the Riviera without Skyliner access?
No, Riviera is nothing without Skyliner.
I guess it makes resorts more accessible.
I also like the potential of it. You can extend that easily.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think they will eventually. Yeah.
But like the monorail's done.
They're not extending
the monorail.
I'd love a Skyliner to Disney Springs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would be great.
A Skyliner stop to Disney Springs.
Yeah.
Remember at the beginning when people were all up, like people were so weird about like how the tram cars weren't going to have
air conditioning. Right.
And people were like, oh, it's going to be so hot. And then
it's like not that bad.
No, it's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
a hot death trap.
Right, exactly. They're like, oh, you're just going to be up in the air in a metal cage?
Yeah.
No.
No, no, and it's actually a podcast to listen to where they would say that all the time, and then they went on it and they're like, wow, this is so pleasant. Yeah. And no, it is great. So I would say the Skyliner, the security checkpoints, okay? Those new security machines that they have are amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just like no more bag check for every bag. You know, that's so good.
And then worst changes.
Yeah, that was it. That's all I got for best changes. No, I the rides have become more like
immersive. Yeah,
the lands they're always constantly they're always doing better, right? Which is great. But I think the virtual Fast Pass has really you have to schedule everything. You're always in your phone, just like everything having to do with. The FastPass system now just seems so much more chaotic.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I don't know, like
you almost feel like you're missing out when you're not trying to refresh and get a better FastPass.
It's yeah.
Like rather than just letting that be a tool that's there sometimes, especially because it does feel so random because you could hit refresh on that
and just all get of a
sudden
yeah.
you can go get Tiana's Bayou Adventure, even though for the whole week leading up to your trip, it's been saying it's sold out.
Yes, right. Yes.
And right? I mean, not to mention, we've said it before, but the My Disney Experience app is horrendous.
The app is crap. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just feel like I'm always, you know, I'm always being upsold. I don't want to say like I'm being nickeled and dimed because you don't have to.
You are
to.
A little bit.
Like, you are being nickeled and dimed, but like you don't have to buy the Lightning Lane or the multi pass Lightning Lane, or you know you don't have to buy the Premier Pass. Like everyone that's upset about Premier Pass, it's like, well, this is a product that's just not for you. That's okay. There can be products for other people, right? And that's what Disney's trying to find. They're trying to find a product for everybody. But the fact that I have to worry about whether or not I'm going to even get on a ride.
Right.
And then 7 days in advance, I gotta buy this single pass for rides. Right. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to ride it.
Right.
That
you don't have to do it, but you should.
Right. You know? Right. And it's that upsell that they're doing it. And I don't like that.
I think it also creates this fake pressure on families where like, if I don't buy this Lightning Lane pass for my family of five.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be doing my whole family a disservice. Like, we're not gonna have a good vacation unless I buy that Lightning Lane and we get all of the right ones.
Yeah,
and then there's so much pressure on you making that trip good that
right,
they're not happy.
Like your kid, whose one thing is they love Star Wars and they have to go on the Star Wars ride.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So right now I'm planning this trip with my wife and Elise, and she said, and we were just talking today, and
honorary geeks and reedy gals.
Yes, honorary reedy gal Elise said, you know, we've already spent so much. What's another $50?
And that's what Disney wants you to think.
I know.
Boom, she's in.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said.
Yeah,
and I was like, all right, we'll get the multi Lightning Lane, and we'll get the single pass.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. So I think that's like probably the worst change. Bring back the paper Fast Pass.
I just remember like the chaoticness of like
there was
sprinting to the machine with everyone's room card to just get the Fast Passes.
There was so much chaos with that though.
Right,
I know it's true. It is more fun. It is more fun than staring at your phone and hitting refresh.
Yes.
I wish there was something in between the two, though.
And you were done. Once you ran and put it in, you're done. You know what I mean? And it was either there was some or there wasn't any. You know, it was either sold out or, you know.
Right.
The system that California had before the Genie Plus system.
Max.
The FastPass Max, that was impressive. Because it was just like paper FastPass where you could only get one at a time. And it only worked once you swiped in for the day. So it was much like paper Fast Pass. It rewarded the people that got to the park first, that got to the little booth first, except you had access on your phone because you paid a little extra for the paper Fast Passes to be on your phone instead of just at the little kiosk.
Right.
You could still use the kiosk if you wanted to, and everybody else still had the free Fast Passes at the kiosk.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's a great idea.
So it was paper Fast Pass, but you could buy into having the paper fast passes on your phone. Yeah.
I think fast pass runs. I mean, we've all seen that history of a fast pass.
Defunct land.
Yeah, that's a great documentary. If you haven't seen that, go watch that. But I think it's the fact that they're giving out three fast passes for multi-pass lightning lane.
It's
that
creating too much congestion.
Yeah.
But they're also trying to be like, well, how can we charge $30 for this? Well,
that's how you charge $30.
You guarantee everyone to get on three rides.
Because MaxPass was only like $10, right?
Didn't it come with being a PhotoPass?
It was PhotoPass and it was both for $30.
Yeah.
So like it was affordable if it was your vacation, and then also for the locals that made up the majority, they didn't care to buy that every time because it was like, I'm not going to buy that. I'm not going to spend $30 every time. I've got my annual pass. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to do the couple things that I want to do, and I'm going to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Well, now, thinking about as someone who's had a lot of Disney experience, not only as a child, but as a young adult and now as an old person, how do you think your Disney World park behaviors have changed? Behaviors, opinions, over the years? I can think of a couple of things off the top of my head that have maybe changed in your trips, but how have your trips and behaviors, things you do, changed?
So I had, when I was going with a child, like when I was going as a child, did everything my parents did, right? And then there's that big, long gap of like not going. So as an adult, I mean, when I first started going back again as an adult, it was, we ride everything. We, you know, we're from sunrise to sundown, park open to park closed. We're doing everything, right? But now I feel like when we go down, you know, we don't necessarily have to do everything. When I went down with Emily for her birthday, we did two rides in Magic Kingdom, walked around a lot, and got coffee and, you know, sat down and then went to a resort and got lunch. And, you know, so I think that's what we do now more is we kind of slow down. We go to resort days, go into the pool and don't have to go to every ride and go to the lesser rides too.
Now, doing the parks, does the magic fade? You're going so often now.
I don't think so because there's always so much that you can do, right? You can go to the resorts, you can go to spring. I feel like just once you get into the bubble, that's like the magic, right? Just being like going over those arches to say like, welcome to Walt Disney World. Yeah. I just feel like,
yeah,
yes, I'm free again.
It's so funny.
In such a controlling area.
I don't feel that. I don't feel that at Disney Springs.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
I feel that in other places, like I feel that in a lot of the resorts, I feel that in, you know, every park for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't really feel that at Disney Springs.
Well, that's why I always like to take Disney transportation. Like,
yeah, I think that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
It does. Even when it's the bus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When it's the bus, it's still like you feel the bubble because it's like, you don't have control over that music. You're not listening to the Doughboys podcast.
You're right, right, right. I'm not squished. I'm not squished into the back of a Toyota Corolla. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
calm down, Rover. I was only kidding.
So I know we bring up Len and Jim Hill and Ron. Do you have any other like favorite Disney adjacent like content creators?
Okay, so, Ron on the go, we watch every single night, literally every single night. And I came.
He's not kidding.
I'm not kidding. I came home the other day, too, from something I was doing after school. But anyway, I came home, it was like 10 p.m., and my wife has it on, right? Like, she's watching it independently of me, right? So definitely Ron on the go has to be number one. But as far as, like, Disney podcasts go, we've talked about like podcasts a ride before, but my Disney or my DVC points, I listen to them a lot. The DVC show, listen to them. DVC newscast, the Florida Project. Florida Project is like probably one of the podcasts that really got me into finding more Disney podcasts. Yeah, the Florida Project. Yeah, they're just, I'm going through my podcasts and it's alphabetical. So
yeah.
But those guys, I would definitely recommend those guys. I uh, They're all positivity. I like that. Like a lot of these other ones do news, and that's always good to
news is fun, news but is it's fun. Yeah. Yeah, news is good every once in a while, but yeah, I like content.
Yes. Yeah.
I like, oh, this thing's interesting, and what do you think of this? I like personalities.
And sometimes with people that do the news, it's a lot of negativity. And even though we were just being very negative about Lightning Lanes.
well, because giving news tends to automatically lead to people giving their opinion.
Right.
You know, yes. And it's not always positive.
It's not always positive. Yeah. And as we all know, like, you know, people like negativity. Like it gets likes, you know, that gets
it gets clicks. Attention. Yeah.
It gets attention. Yeah. So the Florida Project guys, they're just always all positive, and it's nice. It's always good vibes.
Oh, that's great.
All right. Staying in the parks, controversial topic. Are you a park hopper? Are you not a park hopper? Tell us why.
Okay. So I'm a hypocrite. Yes. Right? 'Cause I'm going to tell you right now that there's really very little reason you should get a park hopper. I think you can. There's enough to do in every park to fill your day, and if you want to leave early, like okay, Animal Kingdom is not enough to do for the whole day. But leave early, go back to your resort or wherever you came from, or go to Disney Springs or go see the resorts. Like there's just so much to do on Disney property. I don't think you need to fit two parks in one day, and transportation takes so long sometimes that it's just not worth it. However, I love doing it.
well, that's. I think that there's now your annual pass.
Yes,
you can. Is that you can park hop?
I can park hop. With
so,
the annual pass.
Okay. So, if you were not an annual pass holder,
I would not do
you
it.
You would not. Okay,
I would not. That's do
what, so you only do it because the ticket you pay for allows you to do.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. Emily hates this, but every time we go to Disney and we're staying at like Boardwalk or Beach Club or something like that. I always say, like, oh, for breakfast on like the day we're leaving, for breakfast, let's just hop into Epcot and get go to France.
Just hop into Epcot.
Yeah, hop in, hop out.
The France breakfast is great.
Yeah. Just hop in, hop out.
And then you spend 3 hours in there.
No, but also you could do that. You go, oh, we'll rope drop Remy, we'll grab breakfast and we'll leave.
Yeah. But it always takes longer than you think it's gonna take.
It feels like you're sneaking a whole extra park day in.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, and you're utilizing the fact that you can go in there, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I feel like
you didn't burn a whole ticket.
Yes.
Just to walk in the park, go look at one thing and buy a quiche from a bakery.
There was one time we were at Boardwalk and we were doing a pool day and I just wanted to. I went into the park and got fish and chips for lunch and then walked and then I had to eat them there. And then I walked out. You know what I mean? And that was my lunch for the day.
You can't like, bring food out?
I can, but why would you eat? I don't think you can.
Fries aren't going to travel well.
Fish and chips don't travel well.
We ended up microwaving frozen pizzas.
Ride Revival.
Oh, this is
okay.
Good.
Okay, if you could bring back any ride, what would it be and why?
Can I pick per park?
No, just give me one.
Oh, come on. All right.
Don't overthink it.
Who are you talking to?
I'm going to bring back Cranium Command.
Wow. We both picked Epcot for this.
Yeah?
Because I wanted to bring back the old version of Figment, I believe, when you asked me this question.
Really? Okay. Yes, yeah.
I think that's what I picked.
That's a good answer because that's like something I never experienced.
Or I don't remember it, right? Because it changed so early in the 90s that, you know, like, yeah, we both went on it when we were like three.
Right.
We don't remember that.
For Epcot, I was going between that and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Or Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah, I remember Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah, that was good.
I also remember the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground.
That was amazing. Yeah,
that was so much fun.
My parents had to drag me out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, staying on that topic, what's a Walt Disney World experience that you missed out on that you wished you could have done?
So can I pick one for each park?
You may pick one and one only.
I'm going to say three real fast, and you're not going to stop me.
But JJ will cut two of them.
They got to be faster. I'm cutting them.
Pleasure Island and the Adventures Club. Yeah. That would be amazing. I mean, as adults now, like, you know, drinking, I would love to do that. Star Wars Weekends at Hollywood Studios. I heard originally they were, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. That would be super cool. And the Fort Wilderness train. There used to be a steam-powered train through Fort Wilderness.
Yeah, I know. I heard Jim Hill talk about that, and I was very jealous. I'm like...
Even my dad missed it, and he went in 72. Oh, because
it was in the...
I think it was very...
It was only in the late 70s, 80s then,
Yeah.
Well, you're good at kind of leading us into next questions and topics, because you just talked about how you and Emily like to sit and relax and spend some time not moving around. What's your favorite place to relax in the parks?
Okay.
One.
Can I give you one for each park? All right. Okay. No, actually, this is going to be outside of the parks.
Oh.
The beaches of Beach Club, looking across the Crescent Lake towards the boardwalk.
Okay.
I really like that view. It's a really nice. They got hammocks there. They got rocking chairs. And then also at Crockett's Tavern in Fort Wilderness, they have rocking chairs at the tavern. So you can get a drink, go sit out on the rocking chair, and listen to the ambient music of Fort Wilderness.
Is there like a specific seasonal event or celebration at Disney that you like the most?
Flower and Garden.
That is the best.
Yeah, it definitely is the best. It's most impressive too. Those topiaries are great.
Yeah. Do you have like any odd memories at the park where you're like, that is so weird that I remember that?
So does it have to be when I was a child, or can it be more recent?
It can be whenever.
Okay, so one thing I think about every once in a while, it lives rent-free in my head, is Michael, honorary geek Michael, my brother-in-law, and I took a trip down to Disney together. And when Star Wars just opened, we spent a little too long at Oga's Cantina. And when we got out, it was closing. The park was closing. And we went through Toy Story Land to get out and noticed that Slinky Dog was still on. So we went and rode Slinky, and then we were like, can we ride again? They're like, yeah. And we rode it again. And we're like, can we ride it again? They're like, yeah. So we rode Slinky like four times in a row. And that was a good end to the night.
The park does have a very different energy at night.
Yes, it really does. Yeah. And from Slinky, seeing Star Wars Land, seeing Galaxy's Edge is awesome.
The first time I rode Slinky Dog was when Galaxy's Edge was still under construction. And like, sometimes some of the hills you went up, you could get a pretty good like look over the fence at what they're doing. It was very like, ooh, I want to go on again just so I can see into Galaxy's Edge. Right, yeah.
That was before we had Bio Reconstruct.
I know, right? Thank you for your service.
It is the American way.
So what's the, do you have something that you would consider to be like the most unique experience you've had at Disney?
I think I've said this before, but the Savor the Savannah tour that I did with Emily.
Yeah, that is unique.
Yeah, that was very unique, and it was really, really great experience, and I definitely recommend it to anybody. Any other unique experience? Like maybe like getting upgraded or something? Or I mean, COVID. Oh, actually, yeah.
That's a pretty unique experience.
A pretty unique experience is going down the summer of 2020.
Yeah.
And we... Like the way we did it was like, not amazing. I mean, it was a terrible time for everybody, but like,
but we had a blast.
But great we didn't know if Disney was going to open back up, but we made reservations anyway, just in case, right?
Yeah,
made reservations at Boardwalk, but then Boardwalk didn't open, and they upgraded us and gave us a discount to Polly. And then Polly didn't open.
Because you were there for the NBA finals.
Yes. Right.
That's why.
Yes. Yeah. And then they gave us an upgrade again with a discount again. And then we went to the Contemporary with a theme park view. And the whole thing was maybe, for four nights, it was $800 for four nights. It was like amazing.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's like what I'm paying at All Star Sports.
You're paying Pop Century prices for theme park view at the Contemporary Tower.
It was amazing, but it was just so wild that you had to be in a mask everywhere you went, other than in your room. You know, if you were outside, you had to be in a mask.
Thinking back, it's just like it feels like such a fever dream to think about.
Yeah,
kind of the way we lived for like really almost a full year there.
I was in the parks. One of my trips, I was in the parks. I believe you still had to be in a mask when you were on the rides.
Yeah. Yep.
But you didn't have to be in a mask if you were outside. So if you're indoors or on a ride, you had to be wearing a mask.
Yeah. And they wouldn't, if you took off your mask for the picture, you
weren't allowed to get the picture.
You didn't get the picture.
Yeah. Right. Because if they, right.
Yeah. It's a weirdly unique experience.
It is. Yeah.
It is a very unique experience. Would you recommend others try that?
In the next
global
wait for a global pandemic
and then go to Disney World.
First, you have to catch it first, though, so that it's through your system.
Right.
We're kidding now, but also, I'm kind of not. Yeah. I kind of will go the next time something. So let's just say you won the lottery or something, and you're going on like the trip of trips to celebrate. What are some things that this trip looks like?
Beyond VIP tours?
Beyond, well, I mean, of course, VIP tours, right?
He's going to do that. He's going to do that without winning the lottery.
No.
Well.
If we get enough investors.
Yeah. We max that out.
So I think I would, if I had unlimited amount of money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, you just won hundreds of millions of dollars and you're like, I'm going to Disney World to celebrate. Like,
yeah.
What does that trip look like?
I think I would rent out all of the cabins at the Fort Wilderness and invite all my friends and family down, and we'll all stay in the cabins at Fort Wilderness. And it would be kind of cool. Like, the way I picture the cabins sometimes, like, you go into this, like, mini community, right? And it almost looks like wherever Harry Potter's parents lived, you know.
Privet Drive?
No. That's where that's where his aunt and uncle lived.
Oh, okay. Where the house where he, Godric's Hollow.
Godric's Hollow. Yeah. It looks like that. It looks like, you know, every house is like almost the same. Yeah. And, you know, it's at night, you're like, this could be a little creepy, you know.
Right. Because it's so secluded. Yeah.
But I think those cabins are like, they're amazing. I would love to stay in one time, and I think that would be really cool if like all of us were able to stay in those cabins.
Yeah,
that'd be pretty cool. That's what
that would be
like.
Really cool. Yeah, and then there would be also VIP tours.
Yes,
I was just,
but Sean's not allowed to do it.
That's fine.
He will wait on that hour.
I will stand on the line for Peter Pan.
Oh my God.
I'll complain about it, but I'll feel principled. As I mentioned before, Bob Iger listens to the podcast. I know this.
Okay.
Imagine for 1 second, if you will, he hires you, Andrew Shopey, his own assistant, King Imagineer, to fix the parks. Day one, what do you do?
Okay. Day one.
Listen, Bob.
I'm doing one of three things. I got three options here.
You can never have just one thing.
I know, right?
I can't pick anything.
They can't just, like, make a firm decision.
All right, so I'm going to tackle... I'm tackling lightning lanes, okay?
Okay.
So I'm either going to get rid of Fastpass and lightning lanes altogether. We're going back to everyone's waiting on standby. No one gets preference.
You know, the shareholders make a lot of money. Sounds like you're going to get fired on your first
gonna
day
be
at work.
One day and one day only. He might not make it to dinner time.
Okay. So then how about this idea? How about this idea? You have lightning lane, but lightning lane on demand. That's what I'm calling it, right?
Okay.
And you can buy any ride, right? But you buy it and go on it right then. So what you would do is you would walk right up to, say, Tiana's Bayou Adventure, and based on how long the ride is, would determine the price of the lightning lane. And you could decide right then and there, do I want to buy it or do I not want to buy it? And if you choose to buy it, you go on and you go right through the lightning lane. If you don't, then you go on to the standby. It's almost like those roads around, like, Washington, D.C.
The toll based on the congestion.
Yes.
The toll. I actually love that idea.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I'd love to see how that works, like, numerically. I'd imagine they'd have to get probably more revenue.
Yeah, I think so.
It has to max out. It has to max out at a certain weight. Like, if it's a two-hour wait, you're spending... Now, is it the longer the wait, the cheaper it is?
Or do you value, I'll spend $25 to get on it in 2 minutes if the wait is, you know.
No, right. No. The standby wait. It's based on the standby line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the standby wait is 2 hours.
Yeah. It's going to be like
spending more money.
It's like $75 then to go on that ride if it's like 2 hours. Yeah.
Well, 75 sounds like.
I feel like it caps out at like $40.
But if it's only like 5 minutes, then it's like $1. Or no, well, it'd be more than $1. It would have to have a minimum. The minimum
maybe is $5 or $10.
It's like $10.
And the maximum would probably have to be like
30 or 40.
I know. No.
Because
you think more?
You think?
Yeah.
I think they've established a price point that people are willing to pay, and that was in the upper 20s.
It's kind of like when they did those like exclusive release movies on Disney Plus. Like they found the price that everyone was comfortable paying for, like Mulan and Black Widow, and you know those.
But you forget that they have the premium Fastpass right now. I mean, people are paying like $50 a Fastpass with the premium. If you break it down based on how many rides
Premier Access. Right. You're talking about the Premier Access system, you're paying one extremely large price to just be able to walk on and do what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just walk into the Lightning.
My thing is that there's really no cap to how much that could be. If someone is willing to pay it, then
and buy every single line.
Yeah.
Then just walk on every single ride.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, if they're willing to, but you're not, there's no one price and you get every ride. Right. No, there's none of that. It is, you have to buy every ride individually, but the price changes every minute. You know what I mean?
Or like, every
5 minutes or something.
That sounds like you're going to have to fix the My Disney Experience app.
No, you don't. You can't buy it from your phone. You have to go to the actual ride. And it'll be like
you scan
kiosk your magic
right
band, there.
You scan
yeah,
something.
Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Apple Pay. It's like Apple Pay. You just doom, and then you go in. Yeah.
I like it. I really like that.
I think it's interesting. I'd like to see how that plays out and at what point, like, who this is beneficial for, right? Like,
it's beneficial for rich people, definitely.
Well, yeah, of course, but.
And just there will be so many less people using Lightning Lane
because
the lines won't be as long.
Yeah.
Or
so that maybe more people will use
the standby lines will now be longer, thus driving up the price.
No, so, you didn't watch Defunct Lane.
Yeah, you did not watch the Defunct Lane video.
You didn't pay attention.
Part of the problem with the Lightning Lanes that the Lightning Lanes created is that Fastpass lanes and Lightning lanes, they get the majority of the attention.
No, I'm saying if we completely got rid of Lightning Lane and Fastpass, and the only thing you could do is walk up there and buy, if the only option aside from paying at the moment was getting on a standby line,
yeah,
standby lines would naturally just be longer.
No, because every single person that goes on that ride is coming from the standby line. That's it, right? There's no Lightning
Lane. It's not
lanes.
Pulling from two different pools. So the Lightning Lane gets like an 80 to 90% priority rate. So if you're walking on, that's why the Lightning Lane is so fast, because as soon as they see someone there, they're waving you forward. They're not letting you on at like a 50-50 ratio. The standby lines are slower than they should be because they're catering so much to the other line. So there's something to be said about less people in the Lightning Lanes could in theory make standby lines
faster.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
But that maybe is an oversimplification of the process, because you're doing other stuff when you're waiting on your Lightning Lane. You're spending money at the parks, and now you're going to be waiting in line instead. So it's an interesting tightrope balance.
Yeah, because my thought process is in order for there to be a line that has a determined price, there has to be an established standby line to determine that price.
Yeah.
So there's already there almost has to. It's almost like the pay per Lightning Lane starts 2 hours after the park opens, because they have to get people in and get the lines going to see how the lines are operating.
That's fair.
To see how they're going to start the price. So it's like it's almost like. Yeah, I just feel like
they could
longer
start
the...
it after early entry.
Right, like the park opens at 9, and then pay per lightning lane starts at 10 o'clock.
9:30 or something.
Like, let people get in and let people start getting online so they can see how the morning traffic is, and they can base the day off that.
I like that.
Yeah. I like the idea.
Thank you.
It's a very interesting idea. I would love to see it played out. And Defunct Lane, if you're listening, make another follow-up and add Andrew's system to your model. Let's see how long it takes to survive the triangle. Okay, this is the last question.
Oh no!
Oh, oh man! Okay.
Listeners rejoice.
We've mentioned her a bunch. She's hijacked our podcast before. Your wife, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
His wife. Is it?
Yeah, I forgot. Thank you for reading my note to do Borat voice. Is there something at Walt Disney World that you've embraced because of her? Has she influenced your Disney World taste?
Interesting. Okay, so do you mean rides? Or?
Possibly a ride, possibly a place, possibly a
theme
thing you guys do that you didn't do with, like, you know, for me, there's stuff that I did when I was a kid or that I would still do with my family. But, like, with Sam, we like doing something else. Or, like, we have different priorities. Like we like to do other stuff. Like, what's something that feels like when you're at Disney World, like what feels like a you and Emily thing versus a like a Shopee family thing?
Right. Okay. Definitely bars, going to the bars and
okay,
like,
well, yeah.
Yeah.
And boozing,
but also we're bar people, not in a sense of going to a bar and drinking, but sitting at the bar. So we like to sit at, if there's a bar available to sit at, that's our preferred seating because we like to talk to the bartender. You know, I think it's easier to kind of talk, you know, to your partner there. So definitely I feel like that would be something big. The Three Caballeros.
The boat ride?
Yes. She loves them. I hated it. Now I enjoy it.
Well, also that ride has changed a lot through the years. It used to be a lot more boring. and now it's very animated and like bright and more, it's a little more fun. It's still like really simple and like kind of not a big ride, but like, you know, the theming's a little light, you know, they're using like LCD screens to do some work.
Right. So that would be the one ride. But I think the more I'm thinking about it, it comes down to like food and drink. Like we share food so we can try so many different other things. If there's a new restaurant that opens up, we definitely want to go there. We like sitting in quiet areas and watching a good view and, you know, relaxing and resort
days. Fan of a good view.
Yeah.
Fan of a good view.
Yeah.
She taught you about the phrase indoor, outdoor. Okay, Andrew. I think it's time for us to turn the spotlight off of you.
Thank God. We need to get LED lights. That spotlight is hot.
No energy conservation here.
No. Old ChatGPT and Bitcoin.
Yeah, God.
And my spotlight. The things that use the most energy in the world.
Well, that good thing that shirt's moisture wicking, though. So.
Yes. Yeah.
You could handle it.
I should take the undershirt.
Oh, no, you leave that on.
Okay. I would ask if you guys want to play a game, but I'm looking at the time here. We've spent a lot of time in the spotlight with Andrew.
He is the game.
Well, maybe next time.
You can't play this one. You can't win this one. Or I don't know. How's that go?
Yeah. leave all of that in.
Yeah, okay. Maybe next time. Maybe next time we'll play a game, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
We won't.
We won't? Oh. Well, Sean, can you just at least take us out?
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reedy Geeks podcast. Like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Any questions, comments, future topic ideas, nicknames, concerns, email us at reedygeeks@gmail.com and check us out on all our socials at Reedy Geeks. We'll see you next time.
Let's get the hell out of here.
This week's Honest Send-Off comes courtesy of Joliet Jake from Chicago. If you have an honest send-off that you want played at the end of one of our episodes, please submit an audio clip to us via our email address, readygeeks@gmail.com. Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast, is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Schoppe, Sean Murphy, and J.J. Hefner. Music and audio engineering by J.J. Hefner. Bon voyage!